You're listening to Maine's Political Pulse. I'm Ari Snyder, joined by Maine Public's political correspondents Steve Missler and Kevin Miller. They're here to break down yesterday's referendum election. Voters overwhelmingly rejected a slate of changes to election laws while also approving a measure that would make it easier to temporarily remove firearms from dangerous people. Kevin, let's begin with question one, the proposal that tried to create a photo ID requirement to vote, but also included a host of other changes to Maine's popular absentee voting laws. Conservatives seemed pretty fired up for this proposal earlier this year, but it was soundly defeated yesterday. What happened?
Yeah, thanks, Ari. So it's pretty clear that the conservative groups behind Question One basically lost their momentum. As of this morning, the Question One campaign had received fewer votes than the 170,000 signatures that they gathered to get the issue on the ballot. And I suspect what happened is they didn't keep the question focused on voter ID. That's what Question One was supposedly all about. But they proposed the slew of other changes to absentee voting. That created a massive opening for the much better funded opposition campaign, since absentee voting is really popular in Maine. And that message clearly resonated with voters, and not just in left-leaning towns like the Southern Coast, but also in many rural communities. If you look at the map of the way votes fell, most of the towns in Oxford County and interior York and Cumberland counties opposed Question One, some of those by large margins, and those are not left-leaning areas.
When this proposal first qualified for the ballot, it looked like it was going to be a pretty expensive campaign on both sides, but that never really materialized, did it?
No, it didn't. So all told, the opposition campaigns probably spent upwards of $2 million to defeat Question One. That's really not a huge sum, even for a ballot initiative in Maine. But it was enough to allow them to get on TV with ads and, of course, to blanket online and digital sources with ads. And it allowed them to launch a fairly aggressive ground game. But the Yes on One campaign really couldn't match that. They received more than $500,000 from a national group, the Republican State Leadership Committee, early on, but not in the latter stages of the campaign. And it clearly wasn't enough to counter the No campaign, especially in the final weeks.
Okay, Steve, let's shift to question two for a moment. This is the proposal that would create a red flag law and allow family members to petition a judge to have a loved one's firearms removed if they're a danger to themselves or others. It was brought by a local gun control group as a response to the Lewiston mass shootings 2 years ago, and it passed also pretty overwhelmingly. Were you surprised by that?
I wasn't surprised that it passed, Ari, but I was surprised by the margins. I mean, this initiative didn't just win in liberal strongholds in Portland and along the coast, but also in rural areas. It almost was a mirror image of the no vote on Question One in terms of where it passed.
And why do you think it did so well?
Well, it could be for a couple of reasons, and one of them could be that Question One really mobilized Democratic groups and voters, which conducted a lot of canvassing across the state, as Kevin mentioned. And so there may have been some crossover votes that helped Question Two, but I also think it's possible the Lewiston mass shooting has shifted Mainers' views of its historically permissive gun laws just enough that something like allowing family members to petition a judge to prevent gun violence is a worthwhile tool. Now, that's not to say that gun control groups are going to convince Maine voters to approve everything on their policy wish list, but this proposal had a direct connection to Lewiston, and it was a response to the legislature's failure to advance a similar bill in the aftermath of the tragedy.
And there you're talking about the red flag bill that never even got a vote in the legislature last year, right?
Correct. Democrats instead passed a slate of reforms introduced by Governor Janet Mills, who was opposed to a red flag law, and she was opposed to Question Two as well. She and gun rights groups argued that the initiative would undercut Maine's yellow flag law, which, of course, she helped draft alongside a prominent gun rights group, the Sportsmen's Alliance of Maine, in 2019.
And the governor and gun rights groups were trying to make the case that because Maine's yellow flag law has been used so often since Lewiston, that Question Two was unnecessary, right?
Yeah, that was basically it. But I think the drafters of Question Two countered that by making sure their proposal didn't replace the yellow flag law. Instead, it was framed as a complement and an additional tool for law enforcement, not to mention families with a loved one in crisis.
And how about spending in this race, Steve? Was that as lopsided as it was in Question One?
It was when you account for the total spending, but like Kevin mentioned, it wasn't really as much compared to recent referendum campaigns, which have been in the tens of millions of dollars. Proponents of question two outspent opponents something like 8-1, but that's not really new in the context of gun control referendums here. Gun rights groups are always outspent. They just usually win in spite of that disadvantage. It just didn't happen this time.
Okay, let's circle back to Kevin and the voter ID proposal in question one. How are the conservative activists who brought this initiative reacting to the defeat?
Well, they're saying they're disappointed, of course, and that they're proud of the campaign they ran. But they're also casting blame on Democratic Secretary of State Shenna Bellows over the way the question was worded, because voter ID was all the way at the end of the question after a bunch of changes to absentee balloting. This isn't a new attack. They actually sued Bellows, attempting to force her to rewrite the question. But the courts rejected their arguments that the question was too long or confusing. And as we talked about earlier, the reality is that they wrote all of these absentee balloting changes into the initiative. Secretary of State Bellows and the opposition campaign didn't do that.
And Steve, how about the gun rights groups in question two? How are they reacting?
Well, the statement we received last night was about getting outspent and the influence of out-of-state groups, which is true. And the statement didn't mention this, but there could be a legal challenge to the new law, which would make sense because that's what the National Rifle Association and its allies are doing with red flag laws in other states. It's worth noting that the NRA was not a big presence in this referendum. And that's interesting because it has been involved in previous ones. But the NRA might have made a calculated decision that investing money to defeat this at the ballot box just wasn't worth it, especially when it could plow its resources into a legal challenge that could undo red flag laws in this state as well as others.
So this, of course, was an off-year election. But Steve and Kevin, what does it tell us as we're looking ahead to 2026 with a bunch of really high-profile races coming up for Maine?
Ari, I think it's hard to draw many indicators about next year's candidate elections based on a referendum election, but yesterday's results could help shape next year's campaigns. For example, Governor Janet Mills opposed question two. That might become an issue for her during the Democratic primary for the U.S. Senate, where she is, of course, a candidate alongside several others. And question one might play a role in next year's general election for governor, because Democratic candidates could use the result to attack any GOP candidates who endorse the measure. The same goes for legislative candidates.
Yeah, and I'll just add here, Ari, that, you know, as Steve said, it's tough to draw too many conclusions from a referendum question during an off-year election. It's very clear that Democrats are highly motivated by this, and they're hoping to keep that momentum going. I mean, the fact that the No on One campaign held its rally in Portland in conjunction with the main Democratic Party kind of tells you that these allies were working together and plan to work together going forward. But the question is, can that momentum be sustained? We're a year out from next year's election, and anything could happen in the next year.
And that was Maine Public's political correspondent Steve Missler and Kevin Miller. Thanks for joining us for Maine's Political Pulse. You can read more about yesterday's referendum election in the Pulse newsletter. Find it online at mainepublic.org/pulse. Our music is by Rob Holt. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon on Maine's Political Pulse.